Demus Deo. Tasmineva Vishnu Datta Bhagavan Paramarshibi Prasadito Nabe Priyachiki Shayatad Avarudayane Merudevyam Dharmam. There's a little bit more, but the person who wrote the verse just wrote two lines. Merudevyam Dharmam Darshi Darshayatu Kamo. So anyway, we'll read the synonyms. Barashi. In the arena of sacrifice. Tasmin, that, eva, in this way, Vishnu Datta, O Maharaj Parikshit, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramarishabhi, by the great rishis, prasadita, being pleased, nabhe, priya chikirshaya, to please King Nabi, tat avarodayane, in his wife, Merudevyam, Merudevi, Dharman, the principles of religion, Darshayatu Kama, desiring to exhibit how to perform. So, I'll continue to read the synonyms, but you don't have to repeat because you can't see the words that I'm reading. Bhattarashanam, of the sannyasis who have almost no cloth. The sannyasis who have almost no cloth. Shramananam, of the vanaprastas. Rishinam, of the great sages. Urdhvamantinam, of the brahmacharis. Shuklaya Tanuva, in his original spiritual form, which is above the modes of material nature, Avatara appears as an incarnation. O Vishnu Datta Parikshit Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was pleased by the great sages at the sacrifice. Consequently, the Lord decided to personally exhibit the method of executing religious principles as observed by brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprastas, and grihastas engaged in rituals. And he also decided to satisfy Maharaj Nabi's desires, Consequently, he appeared as the son of Meru Devi in his original spiritual form, which is above the modes of material nature. Purport. When the Supreme Lord appears or descends as an incarnation within this world, he does not accept a body made of the three modes of material nature, sattva, guna, raja, guna, and tamoguna. Mayavadi philosophers say that the impersonal God appears in this world by accepting a body in the sattva guna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that the word shukla means consisting of shuddha sattva. Lord Vishnu descends in his shuddha sattva form. Shuddha sattva refers to the sattva guna, which is never contaminated by tinges of rajogun and tamogun. When sattva guna is never contaminated by rajogun and tamogun, it is called shuddha sattva. The Bhagavatam 4.3.23, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. This is the platform of Vasudev, whereby the personality of Godhead Vasudev can be experienced. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna himself says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijam yahum. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Unlike ordinary living entities, the Supreme Lord is not forced by the modes of material nature to appear. He appears, dharman, darshitaya, kama, to show how to execute the functions of a human being. The word dharma is meant for human beings and is never used in connection with beings inferior to human beings, such as animals. Unfortunately, without being guided by the Supreme Lord, human beings sometimes manufacture a process of dharma by concoction. Actually, dharma cannot be made by man. Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, Bhagavatam 6.3.19. Dharma is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the law is given by the state government. Man-made dharma has no meaning. Srimad Bhagavatam refers to man-made dharma as kaitava dharma, cheating religion. The Supreme Lord sends an avatar incarnation to teach human society the proper way to execute religious principles. Such religious principles are bhakti marg. As the Supreme Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman prityajam amekam saranam vraja the son of Maharaj Nabi, Rishabhadev appeared on the earth to preach the principles of religion. That will be explained in the fifth chapter of this fifth canto. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Maharaj Rishabhadev's Appearance in the Womb of Meru Devi, the Wife of King Nabi. Om Agyanatimarandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshush Militam Vena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunath Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vidam Scha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesh Gopeka Kanta Radha Kantan Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavan Ishvari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Guru Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Barhishitasmin Eva Vishnu Datta Bhagavan Paramashibhi Prasadito Nabhe Priya Chikishayatad Avarudayane Merudevyam Dharmam Darshayatu Kamo Vatarasananam Shramananam Rishinam Udva Mantinam Shukalaya Tanubhav Vatatara. So Merudevi and King Nabi, they're young, they're a royal couple, and they want to have a son. So they do austerities to please Vishnu. Shukadev Goswami says at the beginning of this chapter that this requires shraddha, faith, and also an uncontaminated mind. One has to be pure in mind, one has to have sufficient faith to undergo austerities to please Vishnu. And Rishabhadev, who is going to appear as the offspring, teaches that one should not have a son or have a daughter unless you can free the child from repeated birth and death. You have to make the children immortal. Immortality is the aim of life. Srila Prabhupada was explaining in a lecture, you're already immortal, but because you're identifying with the body, you're thinking, you know, I'm temporary, I belong to this family, this country. So he said, don't be an illicit father, don't be an illicit mother, no illicit sex. If you live like the cats and the dogs, then your children will also live like the cats and the dogs. And in your next life, you'll take the bodies of cats and dogs. So you'll miss the whole aim of life. So it's serious becoming a father and mother. It's serious trying to please Vishnu. I wanted to bring up, by way of comparison, another young royal couple. Last year I was in Europe, and in the news was the royal couple from the UK. The royal couple from the UK just had a baby boy last summer. So we can compare this contemporary royal couple to Nabi and Marudevi. You know, the boy who was born is the great-grandson of Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth officially is the head of the established church in England. There's a title that the British monarch has, the Supreme Governor of the Church of England. So we see, as Prabhupada said, that anywhere in the world, these principles of Varnashram can be found. In the royalty in Europe, the idea is that the king or the monarch, the queen, are representatives of God. The monarch is considered the highest power under God in the kingdom, the supreme authority of all the people in the kingdom. So these royal couples, they're elite, they're part of the elite, they have extraordinary privileges. But even though they have these high positions, they don't have as much knowledge, transcendental knowledge, as the devotees of the Lord. So we devotees have advantages that even the royal couples in Europe don't have. Devotees who are endeavoring to follow the principles of household life, to have children who are meant to become devotees, they're helped by the Lord. Just as Nabi is helped by the Lord is pleased with Nabi. So the Lord is also pleased when devotees endeavor to please Him by following the regulative principles and having children according to the regulative principles. Srila Prabhupada compared this kind of help that is given to the devotee by the Lord to a boy on a bicycle. Srila Prabhupada said that on the streets, sometimes the boys ride bicycles and they hold on to a truck. The truck is passing and they catch the truck, and pretty soon they're going as fast as the truck. They're riding maybe 30 kilometers or 40. Not by their own speed, but by the power of the truck. And he said, similarly, when we approach Krishna, we get His power, we get His protection, and ultimately we become eternal like the Lord. We become full of knowledge and bliss. Satchidananda. Satchidananda, that's the eternal, knowledgeable, blissful position of everyone that we should try to achieve. So the Lord is there to help. In Nabi's case, we can say Nabi is very rare. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Because there may be many persons who are pious, but to actually get the association of the Supreme Lord and engage in a pastime with the Supreme Lord, this is exceedingly rare. Sri Sri Gonitai ki jai, Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Shram Sandhya Vishakha Lalita Manita Vishakha ki jai. Out of many, many thousands of persons, one person may become a devotee. Out of many thousands of persons who try to become perfect, maybe one will be a devotee, and out of those, maybe one will realize Krishna. So it's very rare to, like Navi, like Maharaj Navi, to be engaged in a pastime with the Supreme Lord. But Krishna does this to show affection to his devotees. Krishna appears, he says, Pritanaya Sadunam, to please the devotees, Krishna appears and he shows them his personal transcendental form, his very beautiful transcendental form. And he enacts pastimes with them. So he appeared as Rishabhadev to please Maharaj Nabi. And this has a special effect on the devotees. Just as the priests, when they saw Lord Vishnu appear in the sacrifice, the priests offered prayers, they offered obeisances. The Bhagavad Gita says, when one sees God, then he thinks, now I have attained the highest thing. There's nothing higher. I have attained the highest of all things by seeing God, in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And also in the earlier chapter, that when you have a higher taste, when you actually have an experience of God, then your consciousness is fixed. Your consciousness is fixed. So the Brahmins in the sacrifice, they're referred to here as very elevated, great sages. They had no problem. When Lord Vishnu appeared, their consciousness was fixed and they worshipped the Lord. So this is what we also aspire for. We want to be fixed. We don't want to stay in this world. Prabhupada said, if you want to stay in this world and enjoy the happiness of this world, you cannot become Krishna conscious. Still, he said, if you want to be comfortable, that's all right. You may want a comfortable position. You can have that, but don't forget Krishna. Remember the Supreme Lord if you're in a comfortable position. Once in Toronto, Canada, I heard Srila Prabhupada speak to an Indian audience at the Sunday feast. And he said, now you've come to Toronto, you have nice jobs. You have nice flats, you have nice cars. That's all right, he said, but if you forget Krishna, if you don't offer your food to Krishna, then you'll become a cockroach in your car in your next life. So the devotees, they don't want life to be too comfortable. They are callous regarding happiness or distress. Matra sparsha stukunte asitoshna sukadukada. So they're eligible to go back to Godhead. But if someone is thinking, I want to find the happiness of this world, then he's not going to become Krishna conscious. So the devotees are inclined to be austere. Just like on Janmashtami, we fast until midnight. We undertake some austerity in order to realize Krishna. So that's our power. We don't have very much power, but we have this much power to do some austerities. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the priests in charge of the sacrifice pray to Lord Vishnu. They say, Lord, we have no other power except to offer our prayers and our obeisances to you. That's our power. And by chanting your glories, by offering prayers, our misfortune is wiped out. Our misfortune. We eliminate the misfortune in our lives by regularly chanting and reciting the glories of the Lord. And if we don't do that, then we end up acting in maya. Krishna says, yagnartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. If you don't engage in some yajna to please Vishnu, then you're going to act in relationship to maya. So we avoid that. And we engage wholeheartedly in Krishna's service. But even though we prepare opulent temples like this, we build gorgeous temples, still this is not required by God. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna doesn't need your gorgeous temple. He has millions of temples. He has millions of palaces made of touchstone. He has wonderful places to live already. But the service is meant for our benefit. Krishna does not need our service, but we need the service of Krishna. So if we spend money on temple worship, on deity worship, then we're freed from the reactions of spending money. Everybody else is entangled in karmic reactions because they're spending money for sense gratification, not for the pleasure of Krishna. So just like Maharaj Nabi, if we do something nice for God, then he's pleased to give a benediction to us. When Vishnu was present in the sacrifice of Maharaj Nabi, he wasn't there for his personal benefit. He didn't come there to get some personal benefit. He had no personal interest in the sacrifice of Maharaj Nabi. And Srila Prabhupada writes, it's similar with the deity in the temple. The deity doesn't have a personal interest in being in the temple. He doesn't have some objective to achieve by being here in the temple. But he's here out of his causeless mercy. The personality of Godhead presents himself to us so that we can see him. Otherwise, how are we going to see God? And the devotees, they act in an appropriate way. They're very eager to serve the deity, very eager to serve Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. And then the Lord is happy to reciprocate. He presents himself before the devotees, just like he says, Paritranaya Sarunam Vinishaya Chaduskritam. I appear before the devotees to please the devotees. But this appearance of the Lord, like in the case of Maharaj Nabi, this appearance of the Lord is extremely rare. Srila Prabhupada said that even great saints who are completely detached from this world and whose hearts are already clean because of chanting the Lord's glories, even such saints, they're satisfied just by chanting. They don't expect the Lord to actually come and appear before them. And the Lord's personal presence is not required either. The Lord is present through the sound of his name, in the sound of his name. He's present when we chant his glories. So the Lord's personal presence is not really required. So he doesn't always display his transcendental body. It's very rare for him to appear in his transcendental body. But in this case of Maharaj Nabi, he did so because he was being kind to the priests and kind to King Nabi. Maharaj Nabi wanted a son like Vishnu. And the Lord was willing to accept that position. The priests in the sacrifice and also Maharaj Nabi had this desire that Nabi be given a son. So that was a pious desire. If one can have God as his son, God after all will be the best of all sons. You won't have any son who's better than God. If he becomes your son, that's the best. So in one sense, there's no fault in Maharaj Nabi wanting to have God as his son. But Prabhupada said it wasn't an act of pure devotional service. It was a type of sense enjoyment. You know, one enjoys life by having nice family members, by having nice clothes, by having fame, by having money. All these things Lord Chaitanya says he doesn't want. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Lord Chaitanya doesn't want an aristocratic birth or money. He just wants the opportunity to render devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada makes a distinction between desiring, as Maharaj Nabi did, to have God as a son, and desiring simply to fulfill the Lord's order. He said it can be a disturbance to the Lord. People come with all their desires to the Lord and they say, I need money. I need a cure for my disease. Or I want to know you, I'm curious who you are, please reveal yourself. So these are all pious ways to approach God, but they're all asking God for something. They don't know that God has his activities, that God has his spiritual activities, his leelas. So people disturb God to get some gain. And the Lord is kind. The Lord fulfills all these desires, all these beggars. They come to God, please give me money. Another beggar comes, please give me a cure. And the Lord fulfills the desires of these beggars. And how do they feel then? Then they feel happy. Then they feel that God is real. They increase their faith in God when the Lord fulfills their desires. So that's why God fulfills the desires of pious living entities. But he says, that person who is in knowledge of these four types of pious men, the person who is in knowledge engages in bhakti. This is the first place in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna mentions bhakti in chapter 7, verse 16. Of these four types of pious men, the person who has knowledge of the absolute truth, he engages in bhakti. He offers devotional service to me. And he's the best. I consider him the best of the pious men. Because when someone has bhakti, he doesn't have a motive. He doesn't have a motive for serving Krishna. He's not conducted by the influence of maya, by the influence of the modes of nature. He's just prepared to serve Krishna, to fulfill Krishna's order. So that's the best. Still, there's nothing wrong with what the priests and Maharaj Nabi did. They were very learned priests. And Prabhupada said that they were so qualified that they were like the demigods or like even Lord Vishnu himself. Otherwise, how could they bring Lord Vishnu to the sacrifice unless they had the same pure quality as Lord Vishnu? They couldn't have brought Lord Vishnu into the sacrificial arena. So they were very pure priests, very learned, very qualified. I'll stop here. Does anyone have a question? We've summarized the chapter. I've summarized the points in the chapter. Maybe you have some questions. Is there a microphone for the person who has a question? Maybe not. Okay, try. I see. Gauranga Prem is saying he's reminded, because I said that the Krishna doesn't need the temples, reminded him of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's statement that he would sell the marble of the temple in Calcutta in order to print books to preach. Let me ask a question then. What about preaching? Does Krishna need our preaching?
Krishna doesn't need our preaching.
Why not?
Because he is already taught by him.
He's already what?
Preaching is already taught by Lord Krishna.
I couldn't hear.
Preaching is already done by Lord Krishna.
The preaching is already done by the Lord. Like the battle of Kurukshetra. It was going to happen whether Arjuna fought or not. That's a good point. Right. It's going to happen and you can be an instrument.
Yes.
Right. So the same thing with us. We can be an instrument in Lord Chaitanya's movement. And if we don't do it, it'll happen anyway because the Lord will inspire others. Another comment? Or a question? Yes, to perform austerities, we need sufficient Shraddha and an uncontaminated mind. What if we don't have enough Shraddha? What if we don't have enough faith? Or what if our mind is contaminated? What should we do then in order to perform austerities to please the Lord? I think you all know the answer, but I'll tell you anyway. We must associate with pure devotees or the instructions of pure devotees. The instructions of pure devotees will elevate us and guide us in the right direction and give us the power to act. The power is coming actually through the pure devotee, through the super soul. The super soul is considered the inner guide, and the pure devotees are considered the external guide of the devotee. So Krishna is willing, like Nitai Gaur or Krishna Balaram, they're willing to guide us. We just have to take the help and take the power from them. And if we don't do that, then they're willing to guide us in activities of Maya. They're already guiding everyone. Those who are indirectly serving Krishna, they're guided by the Lord to engage in the activities of Maya to fulfill their temporary wishes. And the devotees are turning to the Lord for guidance in devotional service through the sadhus, through the spiritual masters.